Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. You hear that, folks? Soon? That means we really need a meeting here in Stouffville. And, you know, we do a lot on the air. We do a lot inside jails, but we don't have many meetings on the outside, and we need them. For one thing, and not to scare you, but we need to have meetings that we can, feed the, people who get out of jails to. And that's, as I say, not to frighten you in any way, but, you know, these are people who really want to find their way. And, you know, unless we get on board, it's going to be difficult for them. Got a couple of guests today. Sue, who's been on for a while, many times, I should say, with a friend, Jake. And Jake's a musician. Jake and Sue, welcome here.
Morning.
Now, we have another fella who's been on some time ago. I think Brent over in the corner here, he may yell something in during the show. He may not, I don't know. But
I'm just taking up the cheap seats back here.
But he's kind of, you know, up in the boonies for today. He wants to observe
and
take a few pictures. But, you know, if he has something to say, you know, raise your hand, young fella, and we'll let you say it. Before we get going, Jake, if you can, I know you're a musician, you've got a guitar here, you're going to do a song or so sometime during this hour. What are you doing in the music world? I mean, what's your way about it?
Well, right now, we originally we tried to, you know, make it, but as most musicians, we fall short. But now I just write for myself and for my friends and family. We have fun doing it. Mm-hmm. Once I took recovery seriously, music really came back to me a lot stronger than it had been in recent years. Well, I found myself a lot more time, you know. I was able to think a little more clear.
Yeah,
and, I was able to focus on, like, having fun with it again. It wasn't just a job or something we did on the weekends to make money to get liquor or whatever.
Cool, yeah.
And like now there's a lot more spirituality with it. And, I actually find that I have something to write about.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
How recovery fit into,
into
your design or I guess your writings, you know,
About 3 months, in my early recovery, stuff just started coming out that, in the past, I'd always tried to write songs, and they just seemed corny or whatever. And then I finally had something that meant something to me, and something I wanted to put out there so that other people could hear too, and you know, hear the hope and the peace of it all.
Yeah, and that's a great message. I think all of us at some point learn that you know, something unshared is to the detriment of everybody out there, because you know you have certain solutions to certain things that somebody at least has to hear, or that somebody may not make it, you know, and we got to share stuff big time, and not, you know, if you're this kind of addict, I'll share it with you, but if you're that kind, I'll share it with you. I don't believe in that stuff. I've opened it wide, and sharing the burden is for anybody. We love the 12 steps, and we love the scripture related to it, and that's why we do it. But, you know, don't take a solution away because a guy is involved with a certain drug or booze or whatever.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And not another thing. So my job is to certainly not crush anonymity, because none of us would be here probably if it weren't for that. But to help people get by it too, in the sense that, you know, your life is not just for you. It's for, it's for the world. You know?
I kind of threw my anonymity out the window when I realized that it's a lot easier to help people if you're okay with doing that. A lot of people aren't, which is also fine. So, you know, I've always just, I'll use social media, I'll use the stage, I'll use whatever I can to help whoever I can.
But it sounds like you took your experiences, like, you know, and your experiences probably in the depths of your addiction or your disease, and your experience in building your life back up, and utilize that. You use your music as a tool to just pour into and be able to share that with others, right?
Yeah, well, eventually it did turn into that. In the beginning, I had no idea what it was, but things started to come out that were, that I found that were good and good enough to share with people, and then other people liked it and
can relate to it.
We started getting people asking, you know, just asking questions about it. People that I never would have thought, you know, would have had an issue, or because it is, a lot of people are in the closet about it, right? A lot of people are think it's nothing but shame, but they don't realize that once it's, you lift that veil, like the, like the humility of it all is just, it's awesome.
Yeah. Kind of amazing to me, because you are probably about the fifth person that I have run into that are in recovery that have musical background. And, you know, I really believe that, you know, some people are just, it's a God-given talent. Yeah. You know, they're just so musical and they're so talented, and in the throes of their disease, they were good, but then they put the drugs and the alcohol down or they get recovery, and it amazes me that that skill and that gift is just, it's almost like it just blossomed, right? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that, you know, our friend that we had on, Ori is one example of that, right? Like, he's a good musician. And then I realized, I didn't even realize he was in recovery. I met him through the musical, world. And then when I realized that he had recovery, he said, Sue, I wasn't able to do what I could do with my music when I was using, right? And then he got clean, and like, he's just like phenomenal too. Now he's writing really awesome songs, and he's able to really showcase, and his songs, they don't think are about recovery, but he's able to showcase his talent because he has clarity in his head and in his soul and in his spirit, right? So it's really neat.
Yeah, go ahead.
We run into that a lot, actually, where we'll have people ask. I play a lot with my brother. My brother's also in recovery. And people ask us, like, have we changed, or we practice more, or whatever. And we're like, no, we got sober. We got sober. You know, we remember the words. We remember how songs go now. You know, and we actually have a lot more fun now that it's.
Do you feel, this is a dumb question, but it's sort of a joke. If you, you know, whatever you remember of playing, you know, high or loaded or whatever, did it seem that you are more powerful in that than it does now when you're in sobriety? And
it definitely at the time felt like we were on top of the world. And it's I look back at pictures and videos, and it's you know, it's mind-blowing how awesome we thought we were.
That drug-induced haze.
Guys propped up on amps or walls or chairs or now everybody's on stage smiling and having a great time. It's it's a lot more fun. It's really mind-blowing, actually, when I think back or I look at pictures from the past, or like my social media, Facebook always reminds you what you were doing 2 or 3 years ago. And we were loaded, and thought we were on top of the world.
I love the before and after, because I don't know you that well, Jake, and I seen a picture of you before when you were using. I only know you in through recovery circles, and I seen a picture. I'm like, oh my God. I think there was I know what it was. It was a video. You were in somebody's backyard and you were partying.
Yeah, probably.
And by a pool or something. I'm like, oh, he's really screwed up. Right. And now I only know you in recovery. I'm like, what a difference. So I love the before. It's almost like the mugshot when you go to prison, right?
That's right.
You're looking really rough, right? And then you come out and you're, what are you laughing at? Seriously. You know, you're looking rough. You're
the anonymity.
You think you're looking really good, and then you get out of prison, and you know you've been sleeping, and you've been eating, and you haven't been doing all those things, and just the physical transformation from taking care of yourself is amazing, right? Yeah.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned prison. And do you remember the lady who? She did a TED talk, and I think it was entitled "Thank God My Husband Tried to Kill Me."
I'm not sure.
Well, anyway, we had her on the show, and she went to an orientation out at the men's jail out there last night, so I can bring her into.
Okay. Did I meet her?
She tells her story. No, I don't think so. She tells her story, and that's the theme of it, and she was involved in gang stuff and everything, and you know, to the nth degree, and now she tells the story, and she always wanted to go into the prison systems and talk a little there, and we gave her a way to, you know, to get in there and come with us, and so I'll be taking her and probably next week just to see how that goes. But anyway, I just thought of that. Folks, our prison ministry is, is powerful and expanding in so many ways. We had a record last week. We saw 55 inmates face-to-face in six different meetings in a couple of institutions in several different units. So, you know, we're moving along and we're making a difference. We're not, but, you know, I guess God's using us to make a difference. And it's beautiful. It really is. And we have people like Sue who's told her story on here and, you know, who ended up in one of those places for a little while. And she could relate so perfectly to many of the women in the same boat she was in. And now she can go in as a healthy person and relate. Makes a big difference, you know. It's funny, Jake, when you walked in with, you know, your little boy, I'm thinking, like, that's the first impression for me. You know, so, right. Here's a, you know, a healthy looking dad with his young boy. And, I think, yeah, it's beautiful. But I don't know how to take that because I'm used to more rough stuff and junk that I deal with all the time in these jails.
I don't mean in a bad way,
but yeah, but I mean, I'm in these jails every day now. I'm getting soaked with it, you know. So anyway, first impressions, they're so powerful, and that's a beautiful scene. It's a great way to meet you. And if I saw the others, I'm sure I'd be overwhelmed with the history, but that's kind of the way it goes.
Can I just piggyback on that? When you're talking about the prison ministry, I go in to the women's prison with you, and, you know, I think the women get really attracted to me in the physical sense, because not only am I, like, physically clean, I wash with soap today, and I look good, and, you know, I have nice clothes on and all that. You know, I think there's attraction to them, and, but it always blows me away because I'm no different than those women. You know, and they don't get that. They don't get the fact that all the trauma and all the drama and all the horrible, horrendous conditions that they're in, not only physically, but in their environment. And if they're living on the streets or if they're being beat up by their boy, whatever, and their kids not being with them and, you know, in and out of institutions, they don't get the fact that I was just like them.
Yeah.
And I have to keep telling them, I am no different than you. And the only difference is I'm not wearing that green tracksuit that you're wearing today. Yep. And I was in your position. And I think when we can be a physical example, like you saying, a physical example, you see him as somebody that looks half decent, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know,
half decent.
Sorry. Oh, somebody looks really decent. Sorry, let me correct it. But, you know, I'm sure, Jake, if you go around people that partied with you and knew what kind of mess you were and train wreck you were and they see you today, you are a living example of what recovery can do for people, right? And, images, pictures say 1,000 things, right?
I know. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're right, Sue.
Sorry, you're really, I should say,
Jake's a wreck.
He's
looking great. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break and come back and get Jake to maybe play a song and see how that works out. My good friend Jay over here behind the mic and all the wires, he's the man who produces the show. So Jay, thanks again for being here. But also, folks, while I think of it, Jay's a great buddy for all of us here. He produces the show, has been doing it perfectly well for years now. He's somebody who's very involved in, put it this way, his sister gave him a kidney some years back, 19, almost 20 years ago, I guess.
Almost 20, yeah.
And apparently that's a long time for a kidney to last. Yeah. And Jay is getting to the point where he's going to need a new one. So anyone, and I mean anyone, who thinks of giving one up or knows of some route that he can go to secure one somehow, whatever it is, you know, get in touch with him. Get in touch with us. Get in touch with, you know, Sharing the Burden or the radio station, whistlefm.com here. And, you know, just get to him and even offer him your support and prayers. And we're doing, you know, and we think there's power in prayer, of course. So, Jay, with that, I guess you better get some bills paid on this for this radio station here, and then we can keep going.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for saying that, Scott, and thank you very much, everybody. Wherever you're listening, thanks all for your support, and feel free to, reach out to me if you have any questions or, have any ideas. I, really do appreciate it. So you can get a hold of me at the station here, or you can find me on Facebook there, all over social media. But now it's time to pay some bills. We'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.